Children, are the children going out today? Are they going out? They can stay in, it's all right. Stay in? Okay. All right. John chapter 3, we looked at, and we did a really deep dive into it. Did you enjoy that last Sunday evening? Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you're saying that. Because we're going to look at it again now. Turn to John chapter 3. Are you there? John chapter 3. Today's service is actually, I don't need that. Today's service is about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. The Bible tells us that we should walk in the Spirit. It sounds a little bit ethereal, doesn't it? A little bit, how do you do that? Walking in, does it involve some sort of floating? Do I have to levitate? Is it a deeply spiritual thing where I'm going to have to sort of wear special clothes for it and beat myself with a stick? Is it walking by the Spirit? Walking by the Spirit. Can an ordinary person walk by the Spirit? Can I walk by the Spirit? Okay, well, all these questions and more will be answered today. But first of all, you need to be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So, John chapter 3. Nicodemus has just come to Jesus at night. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, ruler of the people, very religious person, very high up in society. And he's come to Jesus at night, so nobody else sees him there. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man..." Oh, sorry. Go back a bit. He said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Interesting. How can someone be born of the Spirit? Well, Jesus has just described it, hasn't he? Truly, truly, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Has everyone been born of the flesh here today? Okay. Yeah, yeah. No unborn people here today. You've all been born of the flesh. Okay. Well, we've got one down. Born of the Spirit now. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, in your Bible, where it says spirit is spirit, is there a capital S on the first one and a small s on the second one? You see that? Well, what does a capital S mean when it's in front of spirit? It means it's the Holy Spirit. So, that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, the thing about the word wind is it's from the Greek word pneuma. Pneuma. The word pneuma, we use it in the word pneumatic. Pneumatic means it's powered by compressed air, doesn't it? Pneumatic drill. It's powered by compressed air. So, pneuma is the word for wind. But pneuma is also the word for spirit. It's exactly the same word in the Greek. And the only way to distinguish which one it means is the context of the passage. So if I was talking about flying a kite in the pneuma, then I would be talking about the wind. If I was talking about using a special gift of the holy pneuma, then I'd be talking about the Holy Spirit, wouldn't I? So it's all to do with the context. But what's the context here? Because we're talking about the Spirit being born of the Spirit, aren't we? So we actually are talking about the Spirit. And where it says the wind blows where it wishes, in the Greek, the third person pronoun that's being used isn't specific. It can mean it, he, or she. And they've only placed an it there because they've translated pneuma as wind. So, let me reread this in a different way. Chapter 3, verse 8. The Spirit, and the word blows could also mean breathes. Breathes. The Spirit breathes where he wishes, and you hear the sound of him, but you do not know where he comes from or where he is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How about that? Right, well, there's three things we can take from that verse. First of all, who decides? Whose will is it that we are born again? His will. It's his will. We can also take from this that we won't always understand it either. We won't always understand what the Spirit's doing or why he's doing it. I don't know why the Holy Spirit chose me. Why? Why did he choose me? He chooses and he chose me. I wouldn't have chosen me. I would have chosen somebody a lot better looking and somebody a whole lot better than me. I probably would have picked somebody like David Beckham, who's got skills and money and popularity. And everybody wants to listen to him, even by his aftershave. But God doesn't choose the same way that I choose. And I'm glad he doesn't, because he wouldn't have chosen me otherwise. But he chose me. And he chose you. And I don't know why. I'm glad he did. The third thing we can take from this is, although we don't understand everything that the Holy Spirit's doing, we don't know where he comes from, we don't know where he goes to, we can see the evidence of him being here. We can, if it was the wind, we can't see the wind, can we? But if we look out of the sky on a cloudy day and it's windy, we can see the clouds moving fast, can't we? And we can say it's a windy day. Even though we can't see the wind, we can see what the wind's doing to the clouds. We can look out of the window and see the trees blowing. And we can say, it's a windy day today. The trees are really moving with the wind. But we can't see the wind itself, can we? We can be driving in the car on the motorway and we get a side wind and we suddenly go, whey! And we can feel the movement of the wind, but we can't see the wind. And it can be very strong. So it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't know everything that he's doing. We don't know why he's doing it, but we can see there is the surroundings are changed because of his movement, because of what he's doing. Even though we can't see him, we can see the result of what he's doing around us. And other people can see it too. So how, assuming now that we've been born of the Spirit, have you all been born of the Spirit? Yes. Born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's chosen you, and you've responded to him, yes. Saying, yes. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, there is a chapter in the Bible that's talking about that. So turn to Galatians chapter 5. Right. Are you there? Yeah, right. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So we can walk by the Spirit. And in the same way as being born by the Spirit, it's all about His will. Walking by the Spirit is walking in the will of God. Our biggest example of this is Jesus Himself. Jesus actually was God, but He lowered Himself to the position of a servant, and He, if you're making notes today, you can jot these down. He always did the will of His Father. He always said that I do the will of my Father. I don't do my will. I don't say what I want to say. I do what He says, and I do what He tells me. And here's the verses. And they're all in John, these. John 4:34. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. John 5:30. I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. John 6:38. Not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. John 8:28. Nothing on my own authority do I speak, but I speak just as the Father taught me. And that's just a few of them. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus is our biggest example of humility and of suppressing His own desire to do what He wanted to do and doing the will of somebody else, doing the will of the Father. Can we be obedient to God? Can we? We can, can't we? I can be obedient. Children can do what they're told. They don't always, do they? Has anyone brought up children? Has anyone been a child? Has anyone not been a child? Were you all really obedient, good children? Or were you sometimes obedient, good children, and sometimes not so much? I was always a good child, me. Except when I wasn't. And you know, we are supposed to be obedient children all the time now to our Father in heaven. And that we would be walking in the Spirit if we were like that. Do you know, just like that, I was always a good boy, except when I wasn't. I'm still a good boy now, except when I'm not. And you're all so good as well. Yeah. But when you're not. There was a big list of things there, and some of them, I don't think anybody's been involved with sorcery this week, have you? You might not have been dealing with any impurity or sensuality or idolatry either. Has anybody been worshipping idols this week? No? Well, then we get to other things, and things like strife. Have you had strife with anybody? Have you had jealousy? Have you been jealous? Outbursts of anger. Have you got angry? Disputes. Have you had arguments with people? Dissensions, factions, envying. Have you envied anybody? Have you seen anybody's car and thought, whoa, I like one of those? Drunkenness and carousing. Now, you might have been doing some of that over the Christmas period. You weren't supposed to. And I'm not going to advocate for it either. But sometimes people can make mistakes, and sometimes people can sin. People who actually do know better and don't generally do it as a rule. The verse that we've just read in Galatians talks about all those things, but it talks about people who practice them. And it's their way of life. It shouldn't be your way of life. You should have a different way of life. Do you understand that? Your way of life is not that list of drunkenness, factions, envying, sorcery, enmity, and all that. That's not the life that you practice. You're to practice a different kind of life. And this kind of life involves love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do they sound a whole lot better? Do you want them in your life? Yeah. He calls them fruit, though. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Look at your Bible. Does it say Spirit with a big S or a little S? Big S. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Right. If it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, who's responsible for the growth of the fruit? Whose fruit is it? The Holy Spirit's fruit. But whose life does it grow in? Yours. Wow. In John chapter 15, Jesus talked about the vine. Do you remember that parable? I used to have a garden with apple and pear trees in. Well, a pear tree and two apples. And on those trees, one of them was a really good one. And it was really nice apples. They were called Discovery, I think. And we used to put the trampoline underneath that tree so that we could bounce up and down and get the highest apples off the tree. And you know, if I went up to the tree and I listened really hard, I couldn't hear a thing. But if I got a stethoscope and put it to the bark, I still couldn't hear a thing. I couldn't hear the tree going as it tried to squeeze out another apple. I couldn't. Because it wasn't straining at all. Because the apple just grew on the tree. It just produced the fruit. No strain. You know, we try in our Christian lives sometimes to do what's right, to do what's right. Was it the little train? To do, I must do that, I didn't do that, I must do that, I will do that. And we try and try and try and try and try and try. Like we're trying to give something up. You know when you try and give something up? I will give up cake, 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 I will give up cake. And you try and give up cake. And do you know what you're doing all day? You're thinking about cake because you... Even in the vocalization of I will give up cake, cake is there. So every time you think about giving up cake, you have to think about cake. So the way to give something up isn't to try to give it up. The way to give something up is to fill your life with something else. So instead of thinking, I will give up cake, I will give up cake, you say, I will have this instead. I will have this instead. I will chocolate. Chocolate is my next love. And I don't want cake anymore, you see. But if we put our attention on the thing that we want to lose, we won't lose it. If we put our attention on what we want to gain, then it doesn't matter about the other things. They just fall away. You can't be walking north and south at the same time. Do you understand that? If we're walking in the Spirit, it's very hard to walk in the flesh because they're opposite directions. They're in opposition to one another. Our flesh wants to do the whole list of bad things. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Have you heard that? The world, the flesh, and the devil. They all try to drag us down. Life is a bit like an escalator, but it's a down escalator. Children, have you ever tried running up the down escalator? Never. You've never tried going up the down escalator. Well, I have. Not recently. It's hard work, isn't it, trying to go up the down escalator? And what happens when you stop moving? If you stop walking up the down escalator, which way do you go? You go down, don't you? And the world is like that. And as soon as we stop walking on with God, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all working together to bring us down. So we keep our focus on Jesus. You see, walking in the Spirit isn't something that we can how do I describe this to you? Walking in the Spirit is like being the branch on the tree. All we need to do is stay connected to the source. All we need to do is be connected to the tree. And who is the tree? Jesus. So all we need to do to walk in the Spirit is to have our focus, our attention on Him. And if our focus and our attention is on being connected to Him, I don't want to do all the bad things. All those things about strife and envy and hating and I just don't want to do them. Because my focus is on Jesus. And because my focus is on Jesus, fruit starts producing in my life. And I can be just anywhere. I could be at work. I could be at church. I could be anywhere. I could be out shopping at Tesco. And the fruit of the Spirit will just be popping off me. I'll just be producing the fruit of the Spirit without trying. Because the branch doesn't try to produce apples. The branch just stays connected to the tree. And if it's connected to the tree, the apples come. So don't try, I will love, I will love, I will love more, I will love more. I will be kind, I will be kind, I will be kind, I will be kind. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to be connected to Jesus with our focus and our attention on Him. And when we're like that, we can't help but being loving and kind. And He does fill us with joy. And we do have self-control and kindness and goodness and faithfulness because our focus is on Jesus. It's just natural. So we don't need to try. We don't need to make an effort to do all the good things. We just need to put all of our effort into our focus on being connected to Jesus. Now, it's been mentioned a few times in church, and it's not surprising because it's an important thing. There are different areas of our life, and every day we should have a focus on these things. Do you remember it's the knockout? It was Stuart Hall and Eddie Waring, and they had all these competitions. Do you remember them? Did they have them in Canada? I don't know if it showed in Canada. It was called It's a Knockout, and they would have these energetic competitions where there were teams from different countries in the world. Was it a European thing? I think. I don't know if they still do it. But they had these competitions, and they had to sort of climb over obstacles and over bouncy castles and swing across bridges and do all kinds of things, carrying things like a bucket of water. And at the end of it, they would have to put what's left in the bucket after all this moving about into a big glass container with a little bit of dye at the bottom, and everybody's team colour, as they filled it up, it changed to the team colour. Do you remember that? We did something with Rangers once. We did it against the knockout, didn't we? We had buckets with holes in, and they had to run and try and fill up the containers with what was left, and we had people running with a tray full of cups of water. But as they were running with the cups of water, we had the other teams pelting them with sponges. And they had to fill up the container at the end with what was left of their water. Well, we've all got containers that we need to fill every day. And we need to fill each container. One of them is with prayer. Prayer is conversation with God. If I am having a conversation with anyone else, what do I call it? I call it talking and listening. That's what a conversation is made up of, isn't it? I talk to you, you listen, you talk to me, and I listen. Prayer is the same. It's conversation with God. It's focus on God. We're talking to him. He's listening to us. The Bible tells us he's listening. He talks to us, and we tend not to listen back. But we can listen, and he will talk to us. Sometimes we just need to tune in. You know, when you tune the radio in, people still listen to the radio. Used to get a dial and turn it and turn it and turn it, and it was like, and then you get a little bit of, and then it's a sort of come clearer and clearer and clearer. We just need to do that spiritually sometimes. And that's what we do when we keep our focus on God. More and more, we tune in. We listen to him. We listen to what he's saying to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says something about that. Verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. How about that then? Does that mean we should be praying all the time? We should be, oh, our Father who art in heaven, as we're going up the escalator in Tesco, hallowed be thy name. Oh, Lord, let me be able to reach the conflicts. Should we be doing that all the time? Should we be always just yum 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 all the time to God? Should we be doing that? Is that what that means? No, it doesn't. So what does pray without ceasing mean? Have you ever been out with somebody else and they've been with you? Maybe in the car. You've been driving along. Two people in the car. Are you there? Are you thinking about that? Two people in the car, and you have a conversation, and then you stop having the conversation, you stop talking, and then the other person, there's a gap, and then the other person talks. Because you're there and listening, you hear them as soon as they talk, don't you? Because you're in proximity. And we need to make sure our proximity is always where we can listen to God. We should always be aware of His presence with us so that we can be listening and always be ready with a prayer. But not necessarily just talking and talking all the time. Do you think we could do that? Do you think we could do that? Do you think we could be aware of God's presence all the time? It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally, but it's something that we can actually do. And it's something that we can do and then do better, and do better, and do better, and do better, and do better in our lives. We can actually improve that by putting our focus more on Him, more on Him, more on Him. And when we do that, do you know what we're doing? We're walking in the Spirit. Just because we're aware of God's presence with us, we're ready to listen to Him and act on what He says, and we're also ready with a prayer to talk to Him at any time. So pray without ceasing. The next container that we should be filling. First one's prayer. Second one, the Word. Reading the Bible is a great thing. And we should read the Bible. But reading the Bible of itself will not do us any good. You know the Pharisees who came to Jesus? Those Pharisees knew the Bible inside out. Well, the Old Testament, because they didn't tell the New Testament. They knew their scriptures inside out. They could quote them all. And they crucified Jesus. Knowing the scriptures in here is not enough. I've known people who can remember things. Some people have got photographic memories and they can just remember masses and masses of scripture and they could blurt them all out. But you know, there was no fruit in their lives. Just because you can remember things doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. So what do we do when we're reading the Word? Before we read the Word, we pray. aware of God's presence, we say, Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word. So that not only does it go into here, it goes into here as well. Allow the Bible to read you. Somebody famous, I can't remember who, said, it's not the bits of the Bible I don't understand that worry me. It's the bits that I do understand. Allow the Bible to read you and the Word to change you. Number three. Third vial. Fill this one up. Worship. Worship. Worship's a little bit like prayer, a little bit like conversation with God, except it's an attitude that is filled with gratitude. You can write that one down, it rhymes. I've probably not got copyright on it, but it's an attitude where you're grateful to God. And, oh, thank you, Lord. I've got another day. Thank you, Lord. I've got another moment here to do your will. Thank you, Lord. I'm in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to me and all that you are to me. All that you've done for me. And all that you're working through me. Because remember, when we're like that, we're actually walking in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, the fruit is growing on us. And people can see the fruit. They don't know why we're different. Because the Spirit blows where it will. And we don't know where it's going to, and we don't know where it's coming from. But the fruit is growing on us. They don't know why or where it's coming from. They can see the goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And it looks weird in this world because nobody's like that. And we're not making any effort either. We're not striving to be seen as the people who are nice. The people who are kind. We're staying connected to Jesus. And the kindness and the love and the grace and the faithfulness and the self-control, it just comes. It's not hard work. And the more we stay connected, the more fruit you get. And the less we are connected, the less fruit we get, and the more likely we are to go down the escalator and do the other things that we've listed. And nobody's perfect. Not one of us. And I'm not. And I will sometimes do the wrong stuff because I've neglected to stay connected. Hey, that rhymes as well. Neglected to stay connected. Don't do that. If you spend 2020, I remember thinking 2020 is so far away, it's like it might as well be 1,000 years. Do you know? We're here. I can't believe how old I am. 2020. If we stay connected to Jesus in 2020 and make our focus being in his presence, attentive to him, listening to him, aware of him with us, 2020 will be your best year ever. Without even trying. All we need to do is stay connected. Don't concentrate on the physical things. Don't concentrate on the not doing the bad things. concentrate on staying connected to Jesus. That's it. That is it. I can stop now. That's all you need to do. Stay connected to Jesus. It's enough. And then all the other stuff, it just pops off like fruit. Easy. Can you do that? You can do it. Will you do it? Will you do that this year? How will you do it? Prayer. Be aware of him. Always ready to pray. Always listening. Aware of his presence. Word. Read his word. Allow it to search you and change you. Worship. Thankful. Grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Not just singing. Singing's great, though. If you can sing worship during the day, that's brilliant. Do it, and you'll feel, oh, thank you, Lord. You'll just be in his presence. Do that. And that's it. That's all you need to do. I'm not going to tell you that you need to do lots and lots of other things, jump through hoops, try to be the best you can, be the best version of you. Just stay connected to Jesus. Forget you. Put your focus on him. And you will have the best year that you've ever had this year. Whether you are 6 or 96, it will be the best year you've ever had because you've stayed connected to Jesus. We're going to share communion together now. But our focus on Jesus, what he's done for us. And Bev's going to come up and share that with us.
When Dennis was talking about the apple tree in our garden, and knowing again we had
a swimming pool, 12 foot by 12 foot pool, about this depth. And every year when we emptied the pool, we emptied it with a hose pipe onto the apple tree. And whenever we did that, the apples that came off that tree were beautiful. And it reminded me of us with the Holy Spirit, that fresh, living flow of water, that life from the Holy Spirit. If we yield, as you've said this morning, the fruit from that, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, and so on. Be beautiful. Amen. So let's take communion together this morning. And let's read from 1 Corinthians this morning as we prepare to take communion together. And we're reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 onwards. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink."